Welcome to Our Shoreline, Your Horizon, a podcast by Dan Casey, featuring business and economic development news from St. Clair County, Michigan. Stretch your horizons in the beautiful shoreline communities of St. Clair County, home to one of the nation's busiest international border crossings. Learn more at edascc.com.
Hello, I'm Dan Casey with the Economic Development Alliance of St. Clair County, Michigan, and welcome to the EDA's Our Shoreline, Your Horizon podcast. Well, we are moving right along in 2024. It seemed like just a moment ago that we turned the page. Today, I'm going to be digging into community revitalization, and my guest is Joe Bixler, who is retired from MSU Extension and probably some other places. During his career, Joe helped a lot of communities make improvements and turn negatives into positives. And in 2021, residents in the neighborhood of South Park in the southern part of Port Huron got together with city staff and began to forge a plan to revitalize this historic area. A board was formed and Joe was named its president, and then the hard work began. So Joe, first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dan.
We got a lot of ground to cover today, so let's dig into this Southside initiative. And first, tell me, why did you get involved?
So I live in that neighborhood, and several of us were meeting on a regular basis and finally decided that instead of complaining about it, we wanted to do something about it. And so the Southside Initiative was created. There had been other organizations that have come and gone within that neighborhood, and most of them were gone. And so we decided that we needed to start some type of community and economic alliance. And that's what we did. That's what the Southside Initiative's purpose is. And from that point, we began to kind of look at what the neighborhood did and didn't have, and started to take advantage of a relationship that we wanted to create with the city and our city manager. And from that point, and I'm not sure the date right now, but you know, there were a couple of falls ago, the River District Market property came up as something that was pretty critical in our neighborhood. And actually what we started with in our delivery in terms of needs was we need a grocery store. And so that became the start of going to city council meetings and having conversations and so on. But the River District Market property became purchased by the city, and we became very interested in what it was that they were considering. And so, and that's still something that's obviously on the books today. So that's how we started, and that's how we followed up.
You and I have both been involved in these kind of plans that have been developed for doing different kinds of things related to community development, redevelopment, and so on. Usually you start with an idea of what your problems are and what you want to do, but ultimately you have a vision for what success looks like. So why don't you start with that?
So, and that's a nice leap from the grocery store concept, because there's all kinds of other needs that we have in that neighborhood. What we quickly understood is that we needed to, frankly, be more organized relative to our relationship with the city. And so we moved towards the path of working with a consultant and the city to gather those neighbors together to listen to what they wanted to see occur in that neighborhood. At the time, the neighborhood wasn't defined by any boundaries, so it is what it is, right? And actually, the boundaries became much larger than what they were when we were considering it. And so we eventually arrived at taking a recommendation from the consultant that suggested that we start a neighborhood improvement authority. So one thing led to another. In December of 2023, or actually October of 2023, the city council established that authority. And that created a much greater opportunity for us to be focused in terms of what the boundaries were, what the needs could be, and how we were going to organize ourselves to move in a direction of creating a plan and a vision.
Anytime you have these kind of initiatives, there's a lot of ground that has to be covered. It's usually a long-term strategy. It's hard to have immediate success when you're looking at problems that could have been generated over generations even.
Correct.
Right.
So the authority then, it's a great follow-up to what the authority's purpose is. It is not a short-term solution. It's a long-term solution that has funding behind it through the Tax Increment Finance Authority, through the state and through the city. So over time, we'll be collecting the growth in revenue in that boundary to use on those specific projects that we're going to be identifying very shortly here within the authority's workshop process. We already had input from 18 months ago when we worked with a consultant. Now it's time for us to revisit those ideas and add to them and see what we missed. So the collection of that input in our March meetings will occur, and we have to establish a plan by June of this year that has to be approved by City Council. So that's where we're heading. And we're very deliberate in our processes. We're very deliberate in our approaches. And we're going to collect the information, and we're going to write that plan. We have to.
This started in 2021, but the key action was the establishment of that Neighborhood Improvement Authority.
Correct.
Because that gives you the ability to have funds generated from taxes that are gathered from the product or the area that's been defined.
Right.
And then use that to implement projects in your plan. Now, those projects can be all kinds of things. They can be anything from demolition of abandoned homes to new construction of homes to fixing and replacing sidewalks and roads and
purchase of existing buildings.
Purchase of existing buildings.
Yep. I've read the enabling legislation very specifically. We have a lot of tools available to us. In addition to the tools that the statute provides, we have significant tools that have been provided to us by panels that have come to our authority meeting to provide economic development options, housing options, all kinds of stuff. And it was an educational process, not just for the authority, but also those residents who've been attending our meetings. We've had amazing attendance at our meetings, and our governance model, if you will, is a bit different than going to a regular municipal authority meeting. We invite the audience to participate with us, even to the extent when we were creating our own vision and mission and our values as a board, we asked residents to participate in that. And so that model will continue and actually be expanded significantly in March at our workshops. It's really kind of a neat model. We're not there just to listen to experts come in, but we're also there to engage citizens who live in that neighborhood. So I'm pleased with how we're governing in that fashion. It's going to make a significant impact when we start writing that plan.
So one of the challenges that we often see with communities, especially older and historic communities, is a lack of voice at the most kind of micro level within a community, right? So, and it's not like the city, Port Huron, or any other city for that matter, is not trying to communicate. It's just they have ways that they do it, and it's too costly for them to do mailings for everything. So there's always this communication gap. And one of the things I like about this strategy or this approach is it really is happening at that local, very local level. And so during COVID, one of the things that we learned is that there was a communication gap between ourselves and resources that existed that people that lived in that area could take advantage of. They didn't know about those programs, and we didn't know that they didn't know,
right?
Because we were all doing our usual way of promoting those things.
Correct.
Now that we know that there's a problem, one of the things I see as a real advantage of the Southside Initiative is you have a direct connection to the people that live in that neighborhood.
Well, our board is made up of neighbors.
Correct.
Period. That's the bottom line. And so when we initiated our relationship with the city and this consultant, they relied on us to be that connector, and they still do. Case in point, even though the authority now has taken some responsibility for creating a plan and getting input, at every meeting we have flyers and digital print and digital opportunities, and it's incumbent upon us to make sure that those are given to each neighbor. We have had some mailings. We're taking advantage of that, but you also have to go to meetings. You have to go to the Black Ministers Alliance, and you have to go to other events within the neighborhood and share the opportunity for them to give input. It's boots on the ground. It's hand-to-hand combat, if you will, beyond the measures that you were talking about that you all have to do and did or tried to do during COVID or shortly after COVID. We got to take responsibility for creating our own sense of place and our own sense of governance. And so that's our responsibility. And I think we're doing it.
Seems fair to say that the city has been very involved in this process, and they are championing it. Is that fair?
Yes, and there's a reason for that. So if you look at the build-out, let's just talk about housing for a second. There isn't much land left in the city of Port Huron to build much of anything until you begin to look at the vacancy in the South Park community, in the South Park neighborhood. There's also, in addition to the housing, there's also vacant industrial properties. There's some assets there. And so it makes sense that if you're trying to develop new opportunities, small business opportunities, housing opportunities, and so forth, that you look at where those opportunities can exist, and they exist in South Park. So this just generally makes sense. At the same time, you have some nice opportunities for people who are saying, yep, it's time, and we're here to help. Not just the city, but the neighbors. All of this talk about jobs and housing and small business development all kind of weave together. But you have to step back and take time to think about how they get woven together. It's not easy. It's complicated. And so the plan needs to be an intentional opportunity to step back and look at what we have, what we need, and how we're going to fill those gaps long term to make a difference. It sure would be nice if people could walk to work from their house. You know where the industrial park is, adjacent to the South Park. It's right there. Now, the industrial park is a separate TIF, so they're not part of our Neighborhood Improvement Authority, but they're right there. They're right in the middle of it. And yet, there's need for housing. And it sure makes a lot of sense for us to spend some time thinking about that housing issue relative to job creation and the industrial park and the small business development that is going to occur over a long period of time. So it's a canvas, Dan. And maybe the frame is there to the picture, but now we have to start throwing some paint on that bugger and have it take some form and shape. And that's what the process is about.
You have to have strong leadership to make change happen. So do you feel like you have that?
On the board? Absolutely.
In the neighborhood?
In the neighborhood. Absolutely. I'm going to share just one project that's occurred within the last several years that's created tremendous momentum is the community garden that's on the corner of North Boulevard and Electric. Beautiful piece of property. And it's become more than a garden to grow vegetables and produce. It's become a place right across from Lincoln Park, which is also a beautiful place. So I intentionally use the word place because that seems to be part of the epicenter for our neighbors to go, this is a nice place to be. This is a nice place to live. It's a nice place to work. Yeah, well, there's things that we need, but we've captured at least the sense of what we want to see in our place, and we want to make it better. So that's one example. Lincoln Park is the other example. It's one of the most beautiful parks in the whole city of Port Huron. It's one of the largest city parks in the city of Port Huron with waterfront. And, you know, we use that very sparingly for events. But I really think we need to look at that property and say, look at what we have here and look at what we can do with it. So we're already looking at ideas. We've already approached the city and some funders to put in a public restroom that doesn't exist, which would benefit not only events, but also the likes of folks who fish right across the street at the scenic turnout. So there's all kinds of opportunities. And I like a comment that was made by our city manager at our last panel discussion. He suggested that we needed to brand ourselves as a neighborhood within this great city of Port Huron. And I agree with that. And frankly, if you think about the traffic that goes to and from on two one-way streets coming and going, they're entering the southern gateway of the city of Port Huron. That's us.
Right.
That's South Park. Us. And right now, it's just a thoroughfare. We want to create opportunities where it's a place that people stop and take advantage of things that will be. They're not there yet. And so the park, eateries, small business development, the creation potentially of a high-density residential project on the former River District property, just think about that. This isn't going to happen this year. But over time, when you're going on those major thoroughfares, you begin to think, I should stop here. There's some really neat things.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities.
But there's very few places like that left. And we want to be part of that. And because it's in our neighborhood, we want to be part of how that's created.
So we're pretty much at time. Real quickly, can you tell me how people can get involved?
Yeah, so in March, on March 14th and March 28th, we have two, the Neighborhood Improvement Authority has two very critical input sessions that we're holding at the Alger Harvey Reinvestment Center on 24th Street, beginning at 6 o'clock. We're going to be taking those who participate through exercises to create ideas and to collect those ideas. We're going all out, Dan. We're even having a free food truck there, so people can come ahead of time, like at 5, grab a bite to eat, and then participate in the sessions. I think I did say free, but let me say it one more time, free food truck. So folks are going to be able to grab a bite to eat. You know, it's a kind of an odd time when you have families, you know, trying to feed their kids and so on. Bring the kids. We want kids to participate. So that will happen on the 14th and the 28th at 6 o'clock of March. In addition to that, we're actually going to the high school on the 14th. And we're actually working with all of the seniors the entire day on a very specific exercise to get input from them as well. So we're pulling out all the stops. This is our chance to collect input before we launch into creating the plan, which will happen begin to happen at the end of April and the 1st of May. We have to be done sometime in June. So
yeah,
this
right.
is it.
Got to move it along.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate you and the many volunteers who are working to bring life back to South Park. And that whole neighborhood. And thanks also for being on today's podcast.
You're welcome.
To all of you at home, thanks for being a part of the Our Shoreline, Your Horizon family. I also want to thank the EDA board for its dedication and our membership for supporting EDA's mission to improve prosperity for people and businesses in the Thumb Coast area of Michigan.
Thanks for listening. To hear more, visit the podcast page at WGRT.com or find Our Shoreline, Your Horizon on your favorite podcast app.